is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson. I'll have your headlines for the day. USDA is reporting another soybean purchase, with China buying 336,000 tons for the 2025-26 marketing year. That follows early week rumors that a Chinese state grain buying agency had booked 10 cargoes of U.S. soybeans from the Gulf and the Pacific Northwest. If that is realized, Chinese soybean purchases would be near 80% of the 12 million metric ton obligation with the United States. AgMarket.net market analyst Jacob Burke says the grain's getting a boost from recent export sales.
Led by the soybean market, we saw a big strong move up today. This is built off of mostly optimistic views of China purchasing soybeans. We saw several cargoes of beans get sold this morning into unknown and to China. We confirmed it. We heard the rumors yesterday. The market was up big, and then we confirmed it today. So we have a very positive outlook. I think that you're somewhere in between that 9 to even as high as 15 million metric ton here that have been committed.
Brazil shipped a record 108.6 million metric tons of soybeans in 2025. A major shipping agency released that data. Brazilian soybean exports are up 12% from 2024. With the trade skirmish between the U.S. and China, Brazil was able to gain market share worldwide. The latest issue of Purdue University's Ag Economy Barometer showed a slight decrease in farmer sentiment. Professor of Agricultural Economics Jim Mintert says that mostly has to do with sentiment for the future and concern over U.S. soybean exports.
If you look at what drove that change, it was really about expectations for the future, which weakened a little bit this month. I think they were down about 4 points to a reading of 140. The current condition index didn't change at all, so at 128, it was unchanged. So the driver was people becoming a little less optimistic about the future. And, you know, I think some of that was representative of some angst about what's going on with respect to exports, specifically soybeans. Producers remain relatively optimistic about long-run expectations for ag exports, but when we ask them more specifically about soybean exports, they express some concern.
The polling also showed many farms fared better than expected in 2025.
You know, as you look at farm financial performance, I think 2025 turned out to be a better year than farmers expected earlier in the season. You know, if you look at the Farm Financial Performance Index, it was up a couple of points in December to a reading of 94, which says that the way that index is constructed, it asks people to think about this year's income versus last year. So that says they're getting pretty close to where we were in 2024. But looking ahead, producers are very concerned about production cost. High input cost has been the number one concern looking ahead 1 year. Ever since we started asking the question a couple of years ago.
USDA has a new chief economist on board. Justin Benavides previously served as the chief economist for the Republican majority staff on the House Agriculture Committee. He succeeds Seth Meyer, who now leads the University of Missouri Food and Agriculture Policy Research Institute. A member of the House Agriculture Committee has passed away. Representative Doug LaMalfa represented a district in Northern California. LaMalfa owned and operated a rice farm. The Republican has been in office since 2012. LaMalfa passed away during surgery for an aneurysm at the age of 65. North Dakota weed control officials are meeting in Bismarck today for the Ag Commissioner's Noxious Weed Forum. Ag Commissioner Doug Goring says the forum is a great way to get the latest on weed control efforts and policy in North Dakota.
It's an opportunity to get updated on any of the new rules or regulations that would have come out. It also gives some opportunity to talk about and provide some clarity in certain activities out in the counties. For example, there may be weed management and the organic regulations where that's getting covered, weed identification. We're also doing some things, and there'll be some updates and overviews on utilizing AI, but also drone technology.
Goring says one of the most frequently asked questions they receive is how to add a weed to the noxious weeds list.
get questions once in a while from people about, hey, we'd like to have this weed put on the noxious weed list. Keep in mind that the noxious weed list was identified for non-cropland acres, more so rangeland, pasture land, hay land, cultivated land. There's already requirements. There should be people out there working on and managing those cropland acres. So cultivated land, we generally don't take into consideration when we look at the noxious weed list. It doesn't mean that the weeds don't exist on both.
This is the perfect time for farmers to take a deep dive into their farm financial situation. Ag Country Farm Credit Services Executive Vice President of Business Development, Mark Vetter, says it's important to know the numbers.
Producers will come in, what's my break even? What should I have for my expected return? And at the end of the day, every single operation is different because they're structured differently. And so when you get in, bring clarity to yourself, understand where you want to be. The market will give us opportunity. But a lot of times when there's plentiful supply of grains out there, they're very short lived. And place yourself in a position where you're able to capitalize on some of that if the market does give us the opportunities. It always does. It's just whether we're ready to make the decision, because sometimes it's very short-lived, 24, 36 hours, and then, you know, it's back down kind of in that channel or that trend where the markets have been trading for a long time.
Ag Country has announced it's issuing 100 basis points in patronage to its members for the seventh consecutive year. That equates to roughly $125 million for the three states served by Ag Country. Go to Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet News newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and X. It's all at rrfn.com. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. The Colombian government has dismissed a case into U.S. milk powder subsidies and its impact on Colombian farmers. The U.S. was able to demonstrate there was no merit to the allegations. As a result, the U.S. continues to have tariff-free access to the Colombian market. National Milk Producers Federation President and CEO Greg Dowd said this action sends a clear message that efforts to evade trade agreement commitments will not be tolerated. Comstock Investments market analyst Joe Camp says cattle markets trading mostly higher here today on news headlines.
Looking vulnerable short run just to be overbought, that's a term you can throw out there pretty easily. But if you match that with some of the momentum studies, the volume, the thought that maybe the upside in the last couple of sessions was more headline driven, we're pricing in this news of more screwworm cases that likely could delay further the reopening of the Mexican border. We have a good performance in the cash market, maybe above all, still to be bullish about.
The Trump administration is expected to release the latest version of the dietary guidelines for Americans within the next few days. These guidelines are updated every 5 years by USDA and the Health and Human Services Departments. HHS Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. and his Make America Healthy Again initiative have indicated there may be changes recommended for the consumption of saturated fats and ultra-processed foods. With new technology, individuals who can install and maintain the digital systems within precision agriculture are in high demand. The University of Illinois has published a study on the demand for farm service technicians. With high adoption rates in the region, the study found North Dakota and South Dakota have the highest average wages for these workers. Minnesota is in the middle of the pack nationally for the precision ag technician wage rates. European agriculture ministers will meet this week ahead of a possible vote on a trade deal between the EU and a bloc of South American countries. France, Italy, and Poland have already voiced opposition to the trade agreement, fearing it will hurt their local farmers. Additional safeguards in the EU common agricultural policy are being considered to prop up support for the trade deal. EU members could vote as soon as Friday on the agreement. The Soil Health Institute is focused on advancing the science of soil health and helping farmers get the best out of their soils. Chief Scientific Officer Christine Morgan says communication is key when sharing or reporting soil sampling data.
When we collect this work and we do the science and it's credible, We've got to communicate it well, meaning that outside of science, outside of our bubble of soil health, the information needs to be understandable, actionable, and credible. And that is something, as in my years at SHI, that I've learned a lot about, and hopefully will continue to grow and learn more about how we can make our information understandable.
Congress returns this week facing unfinished business, including a potential government shutdown at the end of the month. Venezuela is also expected to draw attention after the U.S. arrest of President Nicolas Maduro. Corn, the largest U.S. crop, is in focus as lawmakers push a bill to allow year-round sales of higher ethanol blends known as E15. Farm state lawmakers hope to attach it to funding legislation needed by January 30th. Senator John Hoeven said lawmakers are actively working to get the measure included. The House Appropriations Committee stripped language from the Interior, Environment, and Related Agencies 2026 appropriations bill that shielded crop protection companies from lawsuits. Representatives of the Make America Healthy Again movement are taking credit for the change. Elizabeth Kucinich, who is a former policy director for the Center for Food Safety, called this a victory for pro-life agriculture. While work remains, Kucinich said this legislative win demonstrates what can be done by the MAHA movement. She said the farm bill will be their next big test. And with Minnesota Governor Tim Walz's decision to not seek re-election, there's speculation Senator Amy Klobuchar may make a run for the governor's seat. Klobuchar is the ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee. The Hagstrom Report has put together an analysis of what would happen with the Ag Committee leadership post if Klobuchar runs and wins. Colorado Senator Michael Bennett is next in line in seniority, but is leaving the Senate to run for governor. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you are listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. To evaluate nitrogen efficiency, True Grit Ag split a 40-acre plot in half, and on each side, there were 24 plots with a different rate of nitrogen. Adam Kuznia and his partner evaluated different rates, ranging from 111 to 230 units of N. The most economical rate in the study was 110 units of N.
A lot of guys will say, well, it was a good year for mineralization, but I'd kind of push back on that because we only had 10 inches of rain, and we still raised 170 bushel crop, which is about our yield goal. And the most phenomenal thing about it is we did this on a nitrogen use efficiency of 0.63 and 0.65, where, you know, most universities are calling for 1.2 units of N to get a bushel of corn. I think we can do a better job of managing our inputs, our applied, both nitrogen and phosphorus. I think that's a place where we can get lean and give ourselves a chance to make money moving forward, because the markets are not looking any more forgiving in 2026 than they were in 25.
Kuznia spends a lot of time going through the soil testing data available from AgVise and encourages others to do the same.
Not to call anybody out, but I don't think enough farmers look at it, and maybe some don't understand it. And that's part of what we're trying to do at True Grit, is to help guys not only get more efficient with their fertility, but educate them on why we're doing this, you know? And I don't think there's enough. And I don't know if it's an interest thing or if there's just not enough available resources, but I don't think guys take a look at it, and I would encourage them, especially in a year like this where AgVise is seeing trends of so much residual fertilizer in the ground. The soil test has probably never paid like it has, or like it would this year, you know, except maybe back in 2021 in a drought year when we saw similar things.
True Grit Ag is based at Argyle, Minnesota. Checking quotes, May wheat Minneapolis is 3.75 down to 5.78. Chicago May wheat's a penny and a half lower at 5.22. KC March hard red winter wheat's 2.5 cents higher to 5.23 1/4. March corn a quarter cent higher at 4.44 3/4. January soybeans are 0.5 cent lower to 10.46 1/2. On the cattle side, February live cattle's 90 cents higher to 236.77. January feeders are 3.12 up at 362.10. February hogs 37 cents lower at 85.77. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.